Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. I'm so glad you're joining me here. I've got a little green tea going on today. I'm going to have my coffee. Just haven't got to it yet, but hopefully you've got yours. Amen. If you're new to the program, thank you for joining us. We're just rounding up to about 100 episodes here at the cafe as we're going through the Bible. And I promise I don't think every book of the Bible is going to have 100 episodes to it. So we'll get through this. I promise we will get through the whole Bible. And it's just God's word is very powerful. And Genesis is one of those chapters that just really, there's so much here to look at and to think about. And it deals with so many contemporary issues like creation and like the sanctity of life. And even salvation. So that's what we're doing here. We're going through the Bible. We're taking our time. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app. We have a YouTube channel. Just search up KJV Cafe. We have a Facebook, which on my to-do list is to post more stuff on there. We also have a weekend edition, which is a non-linear. So this is a linear trip through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse. But we have a non-linear 30-minute twice a week podcast called KJV Cafe Weekend Edition. So check that out as well. Subscribe to that as well if you like. And thank you so much for listening. I love the Lord, and I'm just so thankful for everybody. I can't believe it. Sometimes I log in and, you know, if five people listened, I'm like, whoa, you know, 10, you know, 20. I'm like, man, it's cool. And it's also kind of nerve wracking to think, but, I'm just so thankful that you've, tuned in. I'm thankful to God for this ministry. And we're just going to look at Genesis 6. We're going to zoom out a little bit for a few minutes and we'll take two episodes here to get through the rest of Genesis 6. So our previous episode focused on God speaking to Noah, verse 13 of Genesis 6. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Who's them? That's all flesh, okay? And what happened? The violence has gotten so incredibly bad, it's come before God, amen? And we know that God's in the third heaven, so yes, he sees all things, but this is a reference to the idea of like the Tower of Babel was coming up to God, right? This idea that man is being so wicked and conspiring so much, things have gotten so bad, it's come up before God. It's a way of saying that, amen? I think when Sodom was destroyed, their wickedness was come up before God. God, you know, and so you see it over and over again as a way of displaying God's displeasure. Amen. All right. So we see here in Genesis 6 verse, let's see, that was verse 13, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. So God's getting very specific. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And so God punctuates the statement by letting us know nothing's going to live, everything's going to die. God lets us know all these details. And if you wonder, can you figure out what a cubit is? Yes, you can. Roughly foot, foot and a half, 2 feet. You can start calculating it by the elbow to the hand and add the fingers and so forth. All kinds of research you can do on what is a cubit, which will give you a rough estimate of what it is in feet, which will give you a rough estimate of what the size of the ark was. And that's always another good way to worship God and to study God's word is to translate these things as you can. And I don't mean translate the scripture or retranslate. I mean, take the information education and find the modern equivalent. And I used to do this a lot. We would teach lessons. I'd teach lessons for our church about like, you know, someone would come upon some money, you know, and like what they would do for that money if they did something bad or they found money or there was this much gold there. I would say, okay, like how much is an ounce of gold versus whatever they call epaph or whatever it was the mention in the Bible. And you could roughly equate it to ounces or to pounds or whatever. And you'd be like, wow, that was a, you know, $50 million in today's money, you know? And so it's always good to take God at his word and to research, to study the word of God. So that's what we have. We have God at his word saying, this is going to happen, giving Noah a command. And now we see the latter part of Genesis 6, which we'll tackle as soon as we get back from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
So Genesis 6, the latter part, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. All right, so we see here a lot going on in these last 5 verses, okay? We see a mention of a covenant here, right? And we see that the covenant symbolically is salvation, right? And so the covenant with Noah was, I'm going to save you, okay? Because it is my sovereign will, and you are going to believe that I'm going to save you, and that is what's going to justify you. So just as God made a covenant with Abraham, we have the Abrahamic covenant. God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a seed that's uncountable. And he was barren. He didn't have any kids. And God's like, I'm going to give you more kids than you ever can imagine. Okay. All you have to do is believe. I'm telling you to go here. I'm telling you to leave your parents and your pagan life in Babylon, the Chaldees, as they would call it. And you're going to go to Canaan land. You're going to go to a land that I'm going to give you. And it's funny because he has this covenant with Abraham and like, he's going to, Lot says here, Lot, you pick your, even though you're younger, you go ahead and pick, you want to go look at the city of Sodom, go ahead, you pick that good land. I'll just take this over here. You know, when Sarah dies, like here, can I buy this land from you guys? I need to bury my wife, my family and stuff. It's ironic because he's so humble and yet it's all his because God made that covenant with him. And he believed, and so Abraham was justified by faith. We know Abraham wasn't perfect, but he was justified by faith. The hand of God was upon that man because he believed. Noah, the hand of God is upon Noah. That covenant is made because Noah believes. We today have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one that came to fulfill the law and did fulfill the law. And right here at this season here, I don't know when you listen to this, but right now we kind of just celebrated Easter season. What happened? Christ was risen from the grave by God himself, amen, walked the earth 40 days and 40 nights, ascended up to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father. Why is that a big deal? Because the resurrection shows he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And as we trust in Jesus Christ, as we believe in him, that he paid our sin debt, the idea that me being sinful man cannot pay that sin debt. If that sin debt came due, I wouldn't be able to pay it, right? Like, and I really mean that. I mean, I whatever the commandment was to not do, I pretty much did, broke them all, amen, and broke them all rebelliously. And oh, how wild I was, and oh, how bad and rebellious I was. And if God said, okay, your sin debt is due here, I'm holy, and this is my standard, you don't meet it, now pay it. I'd say, I can't pay it. He'd say, well, then hell's your home. But because Christ went to the cross at Calvary, and because he was perfect, sinless, and spotless, born of a virgin, never sinned in his life, 33 and a half years, willingly and obediently gave himself at the cross at Calvary. Now, when I say I am believing in Jesus Christ, he is my salvation. I'm trusting in what he did on the cross. That is my only explanation, is I believe in Jesus. Now I'm saved. Now Christ's righteousness is imputed to me. So he took my sin debt. That's what he was doing there on the cross. He was paying that price. He took that debt of sin. He bore that sin. Okay, that's when God had to turn his back on him. That's when it was dark everywhere in the world, because Christ was taking that sin debt on for humanity. And when Christ did that, then what happened? He bore that sin. He paid the price. God said, fair enough, it's paid. You bore the sin for all humanity, past, present, and future. I'm going to raise you from the grave, which he did. And you now are a new, you are the Savior and Lord. Your job is done, right? He's at the right hand of the Father. God's going to make his enemies his footstool. Amen. He's done. He's already done it. Okay. The price has already been paid. Okay. So my sin debt has been paid. All I have to do is appropriate it. I have to just simply have it imputed to me. And now what do I do? Do I go do good works? Do I go join a church? Do I go get an education? Do I go be super Christian? No. All I do is believe. I simply believe. That's why the murderer on death row can be saved. And that's why the humanitarian who has every award possible on his shelf can be lost. That is the mystery of salvation, the poetry of salvation. That no one is bad enough they can't be saved, and no one is so good that they don't have to be saved. And Noah's not perfect. I believe after the flood, he becomes an alcoholic. He's not perfect. The Bible says to be sober, so he's not fulfilling any kind of law. Yet he believed. Abraham wasn't perfect. He had to lie to try to spare his life. He wasn't perfect. David was far from perfect, yet he was a man over after God's own heart. Why? Because when you read the Psalms of David, when you read the story of Abraham, when you read about Noah, you see a thread here of faith, of belief. Of belief in who? Belief in God. A belief. We simply are to believe. I'm going to read you a scripture here. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the truth. If you want to please God, have faith. We must believe in God. And get this idea, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Noah would be rewarded for his faith by what? Keeping his life. I mean, forget the fact that he gets some real estate here in Genesis and the Bible forever. Forget the fact that his children are going to repopulate the whole earth to modern day times even. Forget all of that. Just the fact that he saved his life. Amen. Abraham was rewarded with, and he couldn't see his full reward, but he did get to see Isaac, right? The chosen child. And we see Jacob, from Jacob comes the 12 tribes of Israel. And those 12 tribes will be memorialized for in eternity. As I understand it, they're going to have a place in heaven. Amen. Each of the tribes. Amen. Jesus speaks about the disciples ruling over the tribes. Amen. So you see Abraham rewarded richly. You see David. Jesus is going to rule and reign from where? David's throne. Amen. David is rewarded richly. We see so much love from God. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see so much love from God when we what? When we believe and we diligently seek. When we believe and we diligently seek. That's all it is. And if I look back at my life, maybe if you look back at yours, what is it that has drawn you to the Lord? Well, it's him. He does the drawing. Amen. He comes and finds us, not the other way around. But then it's our reciprocation. It's our response. It's our devotion and obedience. Noah walked with God. That's obedience, Genesis 6 tells us. When we are devoted and obedient to God, we then have a closeness with God. And we are rewarded by God. David didn't know that Jesus would eventually reign from his throne. Not when he was a little shepherd boy, he didn't know that, right? Or that he would take down Goliath. You know, Abraham didn't understand fully, right? He couldn't see what would be that we are all children of Abraham because we're grafted in, amen, through Jesus Christ. Noah didn't fully understand what was going to happen, you know, that the Lord would tarry this long, that this many people would be attributed back to his family, amen. On and on, when we believe, incredible things happen. Tune in next time as we get deeper into the scripture. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.